Okay, let's talk about email marketing. Email marketing is fantastic. I'm going to tell you something really neat about email marketing. There's a lot of different nuts and bolts to email marketing. I'm going to cover most of them here in a global sense in this module. But when I started implementing really good, effective email marketing, especially with autoresponders, and I'll explain what all this is, my income rose $68,000 in 1 year by adding email marketing. Now, there's a few different aspects to email marketing, but that is not hype. That's not hyperbole. I didn't make any changes in anything else in my business except for implementing effective email marketing in my business. And my income went up $68,000 in 1 year. I didn't change my website. I didn't offer any new shows. I didn't do anything drastically different to my business other than adding email marketing, and that's how much my income went up in 1 year. It's fantastic. Okay. So I'll get into a few different aspects about email marketing. The first part of it is when people fill out your contact forms. And when people fill up your contact forms, you have the opportunity to follow up with them. Because what happens is when they fill out your contact form, let me back up a second. What you really want to have for your email marketing is you want to have a software that handles this email marketing for you. It's an automated software that sends out your emails. You can do blasts where you send out one single email to your entire list, and that list could be 100 clients, it could be 10,000 clients, 10,000 people on your list. You also want an email software program that can send out emails like every few days after they fill out your contact form. You want the ability to send out a follow-up email to them like a few days after, maybe a week later, 10 days later, 21 days later, 300 days later, that kind of thing. And the reason why you want automated software to do this is because if you just, like when I first started doing email marketing, I had a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet. Somebody would contact me, I'd enter in their name, their email address, and any pertinent details into an Excel spreadsheet. I'd enter the date they contacted me, and then I would enter in 3 days afterwards. Like 7 days later, I'm going to send out this email that I'd written. And then 10 days later, this email. And 20 days later, this email. The problem is I got busy, and I never sent it out. I'd forget. Like 20 days later, I have to go send out these emails. So I was never consistent with it. So to really make this work, what you really want is an automated email marketing software. And there's two that I use currently. The one that I use for my Professional Magic, Professional Magician Club website, where you found this program, I use AWeber. AWeber is really great. It's got great deliverability, and deliverability is basically what percentage of your emails go out and actually make it to the inboxes you're trying to send it to. So AWeber's got fantastic deliverability in my experience. They do a really nice job. It's very easy to work with, and I just love it. I love AWeber. The other one that I use, which is more complicated, is called Mago, M-A-G-O, Mago colon talent. Google it. If you want more information about it, let me know. I'll have a conversation with you about it. Mago Talent is a great software that is specifically built for entertainers. It allows you to install contact forms in your website. When somebody fills out the contact form, you can have emails scheduled to go out, like I alluded to earlier. When somebody fills out the contact form, like AWeber, Mago will enable you to send out an email instantaneously. So as soon as they fill out the email, a few minutes later, an email will hit the person's inbox. And if you want an email to go out again, like 3 days later, you want to send a follow-up email, you can have that scheduled in Mago as well. It really makes it's wonderful and easy. But Mago goes further than that, because Mago has systems in place which will allow you to send out your contracts, have them electronically signed. It will track your earnings for the year. It will house your entire communication with your clients and your leads. It revolutionized my business. Like I said, Mago. Once I implemented Mago, primarily for email marketing, that's when my income shot up 68% in 1 year. I mean, I went from $100,000 1 year to $168,000 the following year. It was just incredible. So you want that software. And again, this is not intended to be a tutorial on Mago or AWeber, but you want some kind of software. And there's other softwares out there. There's 17 Hats, which I had an opportunity to work with 17 Hats for one of my previous clients. I don't particularly like it. I think it's needlessly confusing. I think there's features that are needlessly complicated for the one-person operation like most of us are. So, but it is an option for you. And it does have a few features that Mago and AWeber do not have. There's constant contact. There's a slew of different email automation providers out there. Just do some digging around. The MailChimp, I find MailChimp very confusing to use. I don't particularly care for MailChimp. So consider, you know, consider some of these options for you. But when we talk about email marketing, we're talking about a lead follow-up. We're talking about doing email blasts to past clients. We're talking about doing email blasts to our cold lists. And those three things are basically the foundation of email marketing. But first, let me talk about your contact form follow-ups. What I recommend, and I've probably talked about this in previous modules, what I've recommended for years is having a free report on your website, something specific to schools. For instance, on my website, and it's out of date, I've got to update my website, but on my website, I've got three lead magnets. One of them is about 9 sources of funding options for assembly programs, because funding is a concern for many schools when they bring in assembly programs. One of them is, it's a very Dan Kennedy style old email that I wrote, or report that I wrote. It's like 8 pages, way too long now, but it talks about 7 mistakes that people make when they book assembly presenters and how to avoid them. A very in-depth kind of thing. It's good material, but it's just these days people want something shorter. It's way too long. And I've got another one about, I think it's about character education. I don't even remember. But anyway, have a lead magnet advertised on your website and tell them that just by the people who visit your website, tell them just by filling out your contact form, they'll get information about your shows and they'll get this free report. And if you have the right email software like I'm talking about, you can have it set up so that when somebody fills out your contact form, they automatically get information about your shows and they automatically get the lead magnet, or what's called a free report. So you're giving them two separate emails the first day they contact you. This is not a bad thing. Ryan Dice, this one marketer who I really admire, he compared it to dating. When you first start dating to somebody, there'll be a point where you're contacting each other multiple times a day and talking, and just, you know, you want each other to hear each other's voices, and isn't this wonderful? And then as you go on further in the relationship, you may not, you know, like when my wife and I were first dating, we would call each other multiple times a day, especially because we were living 200 miles apart. And then now we've been married 20 years. We still love each other very much. I saw my wife this morning before she went to work, and then I hopped into my car. I had to drive 3 hours to this gig. I'm driving back home. And we haven't spoken since early morning, about 9 o'clock. And that's just how things progress. So in the early stages of the relationship, if you send your client, your prospect, I should say, 2 emails, it's not a bad thing. You're not overdoing it. So right away they get their lead magnet, their free report, and then the second email includes your show information. And your show information can be as long as you want. Like when I write my show information emails, I mean, they're long. They might be 7,800 words, which for an email is usually way too long. But if it's written correctly, written in the right way, they will read it, because a lot of people say you can only send short emails, and I disagree with that. If you're sending out cold emails or like emails to grab attention or something like that, then yes, you want them to be very short, 200-400 words tops. But when somebody has said, hey, I want more information, then now they're expecting more information. They want details. How long is this show? How long have you been doing this? What grades do you serve? Can you tell me more information about the show itself? What educational points do you cover? What do you need? What do you expect the school to provide you? Do we need to provide you with a sound system? You know, where can you perform? Can you do a show on the stage? Can you do a show in the gymnasium? There's a lot of questions that a school assembly coordinator is going to want to have answered. So if you have a long email to answer their questions, that's not a bad thing. Same thing with the lead magnet, the free report. I try to keep them relatively short now. Like I said, the 8-page one I mentioned earlier, that one's way too long nowadays. But if I was going to write a new one for myself, and when I write for my clients, I keep the lead magnet like around 1,000 to 1,200 words, which isn't terrible. It's enough to give some good information to solve the problem that I'm doing and that I'm working with, but not be so long that you're wearing the person out. So those are the first two emails. And then what you can do, you can set up your email automated software to send out emails like, I sent out the first one like maybe 2 days later. and then maybe 5 days after that one, and then 10 days after that one, and 14 days after that one, maybe 21 days after that one, and then finally a 300-day later email that I alluded to earlier. So the there's a lot of different tactics you can take with your follow-up emails. What most magicians do, if they do the they do this technique at all, they send out emails saying, hey there, John Smith here. I just sent out some information about my shows a day or two ago. I want to make sure you received it. Thanks, bye. And that's adequate, that's fine. And then they might do variants of that on day 5 and then day 10 or whatever the schedule was I just said. I try to be a little bit more clever than that. What I'm going to share with you now is something that's more difficult to write, but it is really, really effective. The first email is very basic. It's a show email, and my subject line will say something to the effect of, your request is school assembly information. And then the free report email, the subject line will say, your requested free report, and then it'll have the title of the report. The emails after that, the follow-up emails, and again, I might do 2 days later, 5 days later, 10 days later, 21 days later, something of that ilk. When I do those emails, I try to get clever with my subject lines. The a really effective subject line for an email 2 days later is simply, quick question, dot, dot, dot. Whenever you have dot, dot, dot in your subject line, that's like a subconscious cue for the person to keep on reading. And for that email, I might actually write, because I do a lot of emails for my clients, I might write an email that actually says, you know, hi, this is Chris Johnson. I sent out the information that you requested a couple of days ago. Want to make sure you received it, because emails are often blocked and things disappear into cyberspace, LOL. I try to make it cute. I try to make it conversational. I try to make it light and fluffy. If you did not receive the information, please let me know and I'll get it out to you right away. And then sincerely, Chris Johnson. Website, email, phone number. The emails after that, I might get more clever. The tactic that I learned, and this is really, really cool, it's a little bit hard to explain in an audio, but I'm going to do my best, is that you start off with a story hook, you transition to a benefit to your show. So what you don't want to do is continually send out emails that start off with, hey, Chris Johnson here, do you get my stuff? Hey, Chris Johnson here, you want to book me? You want to remind them of who you are, but you don't want to constantly nag them to book you. I mean, we do that. And the reason why you want to do these follow-up emails, and I usually do at least 7 emails minimum, because marketers much wiser than I have said that it takes, you know, anywhere from 7 to 10 impressions for people to remember you and want to make a buying decision. I will have schools contact me, reach out, they want information, and then I call them, and they go, no, which one were you? Or during the pandemic, this happened a couple of times. I had a school call me and go, hey, Chris, we're looking forward to having you your show next week. I'm like, and I call him back because I get a voicemail. What are you talking about? And so, we have you scheduled for your show next week. I'm like, no, not me. And what happened was they got me confused with somebody else. They couldn't remember who the heck they booked. They went back online, found my website, and then called me thinking they had me booked, which I find ludicrous, but that's happened. So the whole psychology behind these emails is to remind them of who you are. You're not trying to get them to book you. You're just trying to get them to remember who you are and keep the conversation going. So and to me, that's a really foundational difference from, hey, book my show, book my show, book my show, to, hey, just want to remind you of who I am. And by the way, here's why my shows are so beneficial. So after my my first follow-up, which is typically like a quick question, you know, want to make sure you receive the information, which is logical. The subsequent emails I will write after that, emails like 3 through 7 or whatever, each one of them will focus on a specific benefit of what I bring to the table, and it will start off with a story, a pop cultural reference, or something like it that seems to be unrelated to what I offer, and then it pivots, and I talk about my benefit. Let me think of an example of one that I've done recently that I've written for people. I have a client that I recently wrote a series of emails for. He's a family entertainer, and he hangs his hat. He's very prideful. He's very proud of the fact that his shows are enjoyed by both kids and adults. In other words, the humor is sophisticated, the magic is amazing enough but his character is such that he can captivate the little kids. But he's not like okay. In my opinion, if you go in front of an adult audience and he do multiplying magic wands and a trick with a change bag for adults, I think you're going to sink. So. But you can still have, you know, kid-friendly humor if you're doing more sophisticated magic, like Build a Lemon, which always wows adults, you know, things like that, or really good cut and restored rope routine. Done effectively, that can be really captivating to adults. So this client of mine, he's very proud of the fact that his shows will captivate kids and adults equally, which is great. What I did for him, and he has a lot of other benefits too. He works outside. He provides his own sound system. He's very experienced. And I wrote an email based on every one of those particular benefits. I didn't try to tell the whole package in these follow-up emails. I just focused on one benefit. Now, for the email that I'm going to describe to you, I focused on the fact that his shows were enjoyed by both kids and adults. So I started off the email with a subject line, Barney's Secret Shame. And I'm referencing Barney the Dinosaur. Barney's Secret Shame. I really love that subject line. Really makes me giggle every time I think about it. So people seeing that, they'll recognize the name of my client, and they go, now what's this all about? Barney? So we have curiosity here. We're using curiosity to get them to open up the email. What does it mean, Barney's Secret Shame? And then the email starts off, can I tell you something really funny? I don't remember exactly how I worded it, but can I tell you something funny? I recently learned that many adults and parents despise Barney the Dinosaur. He's like the number two on the 2023 list of most despised children's TV shows, or whatever the stats were. And then we talk about Barney a little bit, and parents talk about how the shows are so simplistic and repetitious and annoying. And there's nothing redeeming for the adults. And then I go, that's not like my... And I'm writing first person in my client's name. That's not my shows. My shows are applicable for adults and kids, and we talk about that particular benefit. And then I at the bottom of the email, there's a call to action. Do you want more information? Contact me today, that kind of thing. I'm not trying to get them to book me. I'm trying to keep that conversation going, trying to get them to take the next step. They've already asked for more information. Now I'm trying to get them to contact me, or in this case my client, for more information and literally keep the conversation going. So then I did the same thing for the rest of his emails. His email that he's got experience, I found some kind of a pop cultural reference or a movie or something like that, talk about that, and then do a pivot midstream and then talk about the benefit, and then have a call to action to contact my client. It's a very simple formula, but it works really well. Truthfully, in the digital marketing realm, a lot of like million-dollar direct marketers, to them it's old hat. Like, oh, it's this again. I just read an e-zine from one of my marketing mentors, and they talked about that particular form, and they kind of rolled their eyes a little bit and went, oh, it's this again. So to a lot of like high dollar, and I'm talking about like multi-million-dollar marketers, it's old hat. But most people in the school assembly market have never seen anything like this. And by the way, it still works too. So that is the format that I will use. What you do is you take your particular benefits to your show, and you highlight one of those benefits in every one of those follow-up emails. But you start off with like a funny story or a pop cultural reference or something like that, like I did with Barney. Keep the emails short, 300-400 words. Brevity is key in these follow-up emails. You don't want to go on forever. And do emails like 3 through 7 with that kind of a format. And then your last email is what's called the 300-day later email. And I referenced this in another module in this course, but the 300-day later email is one that goes out literally 300 days after their initial contact with you. And again, with the right software, setting all this up is easy and automatic. Then the 300-day later email goes out like roughly 10 months after they first contacted you. The idea about sending it out then is that you're reaching out to them before the anniversary that they are hypothetically reaching out the following year. Hope that makes sense. And that email is very simple. The subject line is something along the lines of, hi, name, first name, your upcoming school event, ... And then I start off the email, hi, first name, ... Chris Johnson here. Last year you contacted me for information about my educational and entertaining assembly programs. Just wanted to touch base this year and remind you of the great shows that I have to offer and the amount of bullet points on all my shows. I'll list, Wacky Science, No Bully Zone, Yes I Can. I'll list all my shows with like literally one sentence about each show, just enough to pique their interest. And then I, call to action if you want more information. Here's my email or my phone number. Hope to hear from you soon. So the 300-letter email is really good. I mean, I book like 5 or 6 shows a year off of that. And it doesn't sound like much, only 5 or 6 shows, but it's easy money. Those emails are already going out. It's like literally people will just respond to it and go, yeah, let's talk. So it's free money. And in my case, with my fees, that's anywhere from my local fees are $700 for two shows, local within an hour of my house, all the way up to 7 hours away, $1,700. So, multiply that by 5 or 6, and you got some good money there for doing absolutely nothing on your part. And I do really well with those on library shows. Again, library shows are much more loyal clients. I'll book 15 or so gigs a year using that 300-day-later template. Really effective technique. Now, a couple of details about writing your emails. Make sure that when you write your follow-up emails, they're evergreen. In other words, you don't want to write anything that is not season-specific. Like if you live in a cold-weather state like I do in New York, you don't want to write an email that says, boy, it's cold outside today. Let's warm up with a great show. Something like that. You don't want to do that because somebody may fill out your contact form in January. They might fill it up in June. They might fill it up in October. So you never know when those emails are going to hit because the emails are set up to go out in relation to the first day they contacted you. So you want to have evergreen emails, nothing that is going to relate to the seasons or time of year. So that's really important. Now, if you send out a blast is different. A blast is a one-time email. You write the email, you enter it into your email software, and then you decide within the software who it's going to go out to. With that, you can be as specific as you want because you can write it and send it the same day. Hope that makes sense. So if you have, if you're doing like a holiday special, for example, like, oh, if you contact me before October 31st, you can get $100 off my Christmas show, for example. That'd be an example of something that you could do that is date specific and season specific. Now, when you're sending out, so that's a little bit about the automation for booking gigs with email based off of them contacting you through a contact form. I just talked a minute ago about blasts. I'll say it again, blasts are typically a one-time email, and they're intended to go out. You can schedule them for whenever you want, but I typically only schedule them to go out like a week later, so that the email can be very current. If I want to mention the winter, if I want to mention something funny that happened or whatever, to make it a little bit more topical and more personal, that I can do that if I choose. Now, in terms of scheduling, what I will typically do for my past clients as well as my cold clients, or I'm sorry, my cold emails, you can buy email lists of principals by state or by the country, and you can load those names into your database and send out cold emails. You can't do it with AWeber. AWeber will not allow you to import a cold list. But Mago, you can do it. I don't know if you can do it with MailChimp or not. But so if you're going to do a cold email list mailing to principals, you would want to do it through a software that's going to allow you to upload a cold list. And the way that I do it is I will have 3 emails scheduled to go out 2 or 3 days apart each in the beginning of the school year, because that is when schools are really looking for assembly programs, right at the beginning of the school year. I've heard other presenters say that they try to hit the inboxes of bookers like 2 weeks before school starts, because they're in their offices, they're getting settled in before the chaos of all the kids coming in. I've tried that and I haven't done all that well with it, so I typically just do with 2 or 3 weeks after the school year starts. So I'll send 3 emails out right after the school year starts. I'll send 3 more emails in January, right after the holiday break. That is a second time when people really are looking for school shows. And I'll do it again in the springtime, 3 emails. And the reason why I do 3 is because, again, it's that repetition. I don't want to do 7 or 8. That's way too many for a cold list. But 3 is fine. The first email, I'll simply introduce myself, give a couple of bullet points about my shows, the fact that I'm insured, and that kind of thing. And you got to be careful what you put in emails. You don't want to put, you have to be careful about money-back guarantee, because certain phrases will trigger spam filters. So before you send out any of your emails, take them and run them through a spam checker. And you can find, just Google spam checkers, and you'll find free services online that allow you to enter an email and send it and test it, and it'll tell you how likely it is your email is to get to people's inboxes. So the first email is just like an introductory email, and it'll say something along the lines of, my subject line will say something along the lines of, upcoming school year, or will your students benefit from this? I'll try to use a little bit of curiosity, and I'll talk about my services. Again, 300-400 words max. I'll include a killer testimonial in the middle of the email, and I'll end with a call to action. You know, visit my site for more information, or call me personally, and we'll have a conversation. Now, when you send out any cold emails, especially in a blast like this, do not add live links in your email, because that may trigger spam filters again. So just list not the domain, but like the entire URL, so they have to cut and paste it from the email into their browser. It's one more step from them, but I'd rather get it delivered. So don't have live links in your email for a cold list like this. Email number two will go out 2 or 3 days later. So I'll mail on a Tuesday, a Thursday, and the following Tuesday. Monday, people are still thinking about the weekend. You know, they don't want to be there. Wednesday, they're thinking about the coming weekend. They don't want to be there. Friday, same thing. They're looking forward to the weekend. So I like to send out Tuesday, Thursday, and the following Tuesday, three emails. So email number one is the introductory email. Email number two, an easy format to follow, is my whoops email. And this is not, I did not invent this, but I've seen other people do it, and it works really well for me. I'll say, whoops, I made a mistake, ... in the subject line. And that's very, again, it's a curiosity. Like, what did this person do? What did he forget? And you want every email to have a different hook to it, so I'm not going to just repeat the same email. The second one has to have a hook on it. Now, what can whoops be? Whoops can be, oh, I forgot to send you more testimonials. Whoops can be, oh, I forgot to tell you that I'm fully insured. You find something really attractive about your school assemblies, and then make that the topic of your whoops. If you're listening to this and you've already got a lot of school testimonials under your belt and you want to do more of them, your whoops email can simply be, I forgot to send you more social proof. Here's more social proof, and you list a bunch of testimonials. When you list testimonials, it lists the name, the person's position with the school, the name of the school, the city, and the state. There's nothing more unconvincing of a testimonial than to have it say, your shows are great, our students loved it, you were so educational and fun. And signed, BC. It just doesn't ring true. If your clients will not let you use their names, then just get different testimonials. It's really, it makes all the difference in the world. Make sure you use their name, their title in the school, you know, principal, PTA, media specialist, counselor, whatever. The school's name, the city, the state, or in your where you live, if you're in a different country, the province, what have you. So the second email is often a whoops email for cold emails. The third email can be almost anything. It can be a reminder of a discount. That's a good one. You can say the subject line can say something along the lines of, time is running out, ... And you can reintroduce yourself. Hi, I'm Chris Johnson, just reminding you of who I am and my shows, and here's these shows, and I wanted to remind you that you've got, whatever, 10 days left to take advantage of my $50 off offer, my $100 off offer. If you book a show for any point in the upcoming school year, and if you contact me for this booking before October 31st, for example, you can take $100 off any show, just by mentioning this email. So that's a nice hook for the third email, is make it time sensitive. A couple of things. When I do my my emails to my cold email list, I'm mailing to principals and they've never heard of me before. So I'll have my email set up to say, hi principal, and then their last name. And what we're talking about here is something called merge fields. Email software, any automated email software like we're talking about here, will allow you to use merge fields. Merge fields are simply, if you have a list and you've got, say, 1,000 principals on it. You got Principal Smith, Principal Johnson, Principal Andreas, whatever. You've got all these principals on there. Your software will allow you to set it up so that every email going out will go to the right email address, Anna will list that principal's last name in the beginning of her email. So if you wanted to say, "Hi, Principal Smith," then you can have that set up very easily. It's basically a merge field. It happens automatically. Your email software will walk you through how to do it. It basically just means cutting and pasting a certain designation where you want it to appear, and then every email will go out with the correct last name. It's very, very cool. So I will set up those three emails at the beginning of the school year, another three emails in January, another three emails in March, or I'm sorry, in May, sometime in the spring. Yeah, maybe it is March or April, depending on my mood. And then I'll also set up those same three emails for my past clients. So they're written almost exactly the same, but I'll reference the fact that that we've worked together before. So hi, it's Chris Johnson here. In the past, I visited your school with my assembly programs, just reminding them of who I am. And the merge fields for that, because most of my clients, the ones who actually book me, principals may contact me, but the people who actually book me are very often, again, media specialists, PTA moms, that sort of thing. And I'm not trying to be sexist there. It's just I just happen to have 99.9% of my PTA parents who contact me are usually moms. I'll have those say, "Hi, first name." So the merge field will be for the first name. So if I've got like 1,000 past clients, their first names are Betty, Bob, Jonathan, Susie, Marilyn. I'll have those merge fields set up so that when it goes to the right email address, it'll say, "Hi, Marilyn," "Hi, John," "Hi, Susie," whatever. So that so it starts off on a personal level. Hope that makes sense. And again, if you need more explanation with merge fields, and you have a software that allows you to do this, your software will have tutorials enabling you to do everything I'm talking about very easily. So when I talk about doing my three emails at the beginning of the school year, I'm really doing six. Three to cold principals, so I can use their last name in the merge field, and three to past clients and past leads when I can use their first name. And in fact, some years, if I'm really gunning for shows, I'll do nine. I'll do three to cold principals who've never heard of me before. Three to past clients I've worked with before, and I'll mention the fact that I've worked with them before in the body of my email, and then three to my past leads that I've not worked for yet, but they contacted me previously, and I'll mention the fact that, previously you contacted me, and I'm here to remind you of what I've done. And there's a little bit of overlap in terms of the 300-day later email from the automation versus these blasts when it comes to the folks who've contacted me before yet not booked, and that's okay. I mean, I don't mind a little bit of overlap. So that is basically a really thorough overview of your emails, email marketing in terms of blasts to cold lists, blasts to your past clients, blasts to your past prospects, folks who have contacted you yet not booked, and then an outline of a possible series of emails that folks who contact you via your contact form can get as well. Again, there's a lot of really cool things about copywriting for emails. I'll mention a few things briefly. Again, when you're writing your emails, you want to write in a very conversational tone. You want to keep your grade level around 5 or 6. And I've heard people say, well, if you're writing on a very simple level, it's insulting to people of a higher intelligence. It is not. Studies have shown that if you've got a reading level of grades 5 to 8, you're going to reach most of the people, even the academics, because they're just as lazy as all of us. They don't want to work any harder than any of us unless they're reading academic papers. So keep your emails written conversationally. Keep them, space them out so that it's not a block of text in the email. Even an email as short as 400 words can look like a block of text when somebody opens it. Then it looks like work. It causes eye fatigue. They don't want to open it. They don't want to read it. So have spaces between every couple of sentences so it looks nice and quick and easy to read. Short sentences. Do not include live links in your cold emails because it's going to trip spam filters. I also don't recommend sending images. If somebody requests information from me and they're looking for my email, I will often include my letterhead in the email that they get that describes my shows. And that's okay because they're expecting it from me. But even that is often blocked by image blockers. More and more people have image blockers on their website. So when they open up my email, they might see like a blank rectangle. They have to scroll down an inch or two to see what my email is all about. So most of the time, especially with my cold emails, I never include any images. They're blocked. Images will lead to more likely to trigger spam filters, and they'll be especially school email servers, because most school personnel will contact you through the school email. Even a PTA parent who has their own email at home, they will still often use the PTA's school email, which is part of the school email server, and school email servers are hyper aggressive about blocking out interlopers like us who are not part of the school email system. It's very, and God, it's, yeah. So I recommend not having any live links. I recommend not having any images. And for God's sakes, don't do video. I mean, that's the latest thing I've heard some people referencing, that they'll sometimes include an actual video in their email. And to me, I think you're just asking for trouble. And that is not just my opinion. That is the opinion of multi-million dollar marketers who are specialists in email marketing. And they get their themselves and their clients millions of dollars a year, and the really good ones, they're doing just text-based emails. It increases deliverability. It's easier on the eyes. You're reducing the likelihood of them hitting spam folders, and it's just better all the way around. So that's quite a bit about email marketing. If you want assistance writing your emails, contact me. That is a service that I do offer, but I think I've given you enough information today to get started with it. Just make sure you have fun with it. Make sure that it's light and your language is professional, but casual at the same time. Hope that makes sense. So that's it. We'll get into another part of the program now.